This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أم حسبت أن أصحاب الكهف والرقيم كانوا من آياتنا عجبا
الحمد لله العليم الخبير المتقن نظام العالم بلا معين ونصير فسبحان الله الذي حكمته بالغة وعلمه غزير ونعمه واصلة إلى كل صغير وكبير ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في نقير ولا تطمير ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله الذي هدانا بكتاب منير ودعانا إلى الله بالإنذار والتبشير صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ما دامت الكواكب تسير أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا صدق الله العظيم With the grace, kindness, boon, and mercy of the Almighty, we will be commencing a new series of tafsir. And this time I intend embarking on the journey of exploring Suratul Kahf. For those of us that do not know what the word Kahf means cave, loosely translated as cave. However, the Arabic language is amazing, like we always speak about this year. And you continue to unpack and explore the mysteries of this language. Al-gharul wasi', al-gharul wasi'. If it is a broad cave, it's a wide cave, it's a lavish and spacious cave, then you will refer to it as kahf. فَإِن لَمْ يَكُنْ وَاسِعًا فَغَارٌ And if it is narrow and limited and restricted and there isn't so much provision and it is not so spacious and lavish, then in Arabic you will refer to it as ghar. In English, loosely, either ghar or kahf will be translated as cave, but that's the finer difference between the two. The entire chapter is known as Suratul Kahf, Tasmiyatul Kulli bi Ismil Juz. That's the academic language where you label the entire chapter because of a particular narrative or a particular incident in that chapter. By way of example, the second chapter of the Quran, Suratul Baqarah. Baqarah means cow. The entire chapter doesn't speak about the cow, but yes, a portion of the chapter speaks about the tale of a cow back in Bani Israel, etc. So the entire chapter is known as Suratul Baqarah. It appears in the 15 juz of the Quran and it is the 18th chapter, preceded by Surah Bani Israel and followed by Surah Maryam. It comprises of 110 verses. It comprises of 110 verses. And it is a Makkiyah chapter. Makkiyah refers to a chapter that was revealed prior to migration, while Madaniyah refers to a chapter that was revealed post-migration. In Daylami, the narration appears, Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu says that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, نَزَلَتْ سُورَةُ الْكَهْفِ جُمْلَةً مَعَهَا سَبْعُونَ أَلْفًا مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ That Suratul Kahf was revealed at one instance. So certain chapters were revealed gradually, like the general pattern and format of the Quran, that it was revealed in a period of 23 years and culminated with the last verse as وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ That was the last revelation upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So some chapters came down gradually and some chapters came down in its entirety. Suratul An'am was revealed at one instance in its entirety. The narration of Daylami on the strength of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said Suratul Kahf was also revealed at one instance escorted by 70,000 malaika. Regarding the topics that feature in this chapter, One is Tawheed, which is the theme of the Quran, monotheism, the doctrine of one Allah, Risalat, the prophethood of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ma'ad, life after death, Ba'ath, Ba'd al-Maut, and it is in this regard that the entire tale and the narrative, the riveting story of the people of the cave and the long sleep that Allah had given them will feature, and inshallah we will discuss that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also speaks about the consequences and the repugnant nature of pride, arrogance, and haughtiness. With regards to the merit, the virtue, and the significance of this chapter, the hadith appears in Abu Dawood. Nawas bin Sam'an radiyallahu anhu is the narrator of the hadith. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam speaking about the supreme fitna and trial and affliction of Dajjal said, إِن يَخْرُجْ وَأَنَا فِيكُمْ فَأَنَا حَجِيجُهُ. If Dajjal makes his presence on earth while I am alive, then I will defend every believer. وَإِن يَخْرُجْ وَلَسْتُ فِيكُمْ فَامْرُؤٌ حَجِيجُ نَفْسِهِ. And if Dajjal comes after my demise, then each person, each believer will have to defend himself. وَاللَّهُ خَلِيفَتِي عَلَىٰ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. And Allah is my deputy on behalf of every believer. And then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, فَمَنْ أَدْرَكَهُ مِنْكُمْ فَلْيَقْرَ عَلَيْهِ فَوَاتِحَ سُورَةِ الْكَهْفِ. That the person who contends with the fitna of Dajjal and comes face to face with Dajjal, then he should recite the opening verses of Suratul Kahf upon Dajjal. فَإِنَّهَا جِوَارُكُمْ مِنْ فِتْنَتِهِ. This will prove as a type of protection and amnesty against the trial, affliction, and fitna of Dajjal. May Allah protect us from that supreme fitna. What prompted the revelation of this amazing chapter of the Quran? It appears in all the books of tafsir that the mushrikeen, the polytheists, came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Innal mushrikeen sa'alu an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wasallam an thalatha. They posed three questions to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they said, if you can answer three questions, then we will be convinced on the veracity and the truthful nature of your prophethood. The first question they posed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was pertaining to the soul. Tell us the reality and the essence about the soul. The answer to this was given in the previous chapter, Surah Bani Israel, in verse 85. And Allah gave a very brief and a very comprehensive answer. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. And they ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, regarding the reality and the essence of the soul. قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. Say unto them that the soul is something that comes into existence by the will, the order, and the decree of the Almighty. وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And you have very little knowledge. That's it, chapter close. Very brief, concise, and comprehensive answer. Medical science has evolved. Scientists have made breakthrough. And there's been so much discovery. But little or nothing has been discovered or explored in terms of a soul, simply because this is in the exclusive knowledge of Allah. You never heard that they can inject life into someone, or that there is a laboratory in which a soul can be created. A soul can be created. Is it not the challenge of the Quran in the 17th juz in Suratul Anbiya? Inna alladhina tad'una min dunillah lan yakhluqu dhubaba walaw ijtama'u la. Those whom you supplicate and worship besides Allah cannot create a single fly. They cannot give it life. وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا لَهُ. Even if they were to pool their resources. وَإِن يَسْلُبُهُمُ الذُّبَابُ شَيْئًا. And if perchance the fly was to snatch something. لَا يَسْتَنْقِذُوهُ مِنْ. إِسْتَنْقَذَ يَسْتَنْقِذُ إِسْتِنْقَاذ. They are unable to retrieve it. ضَعُفَ الطَّالِبُ وَالْمَطْلُوبُ. The seeker is feeble, and so is the deity. وہ پتروں سے اپنی مرادیں مانگتے ہیں. وہ پتروں سے اپنی مرادیں مانگتے ہیں. اقبال ہم ان کے امتی ہیں جن کو دیکھ کر پتر بھی کلمہ پڑھتے ہیں. I just had a flash on a particular poem of Allama Iqbal rahimahullah when he said that they present their needs to stone, to lifeless objects, to inanimate objects. And then he said, we are the followers of that prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whose prophethood was accepted by humans, the jinn kind, and likewise by lifeless inanimate objects. Was it not Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu who said, in a physical combat with his opponent, who was Amr bin Wud. عَبَدَ الْحِجَارَةَ مِنْ سَفَاهَةِ رَأْيِهِ وَعَبَدْتُ رَبَّ مُحَمَّدٍ بِصَوَابِ. That he worshipped stone while I worship the Lord of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the first question is pertaining to the soul, and this is only in the knowledge of Allah. Man does not have the ability to infuse a soul into a fetus, nor can man halt a departing soul. Both of these areas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in the Quran. With regards to the development of the fetus and the embryo, Allah makes mention about this in the 18th juz, amongst other places in chapter 23, Surah Mu'minun. ثُمَّ خَلَقْنَا النُّطْفَةَ عَلَقَةً. Then we created the semen into congealed blood. فَخَلَقْنَا الْعَلَقَةَ مُضْغَةً. And then we created the congealed blood into chewable flesh. فَخَلَقْنَا الْمُضْغَةَ عِظَامًا. And then we made the chewable flesh into bones. فَكَسَوْنَا الْعِظَامَ لَحْمًا. And then we cladded that bones with flesh. ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرٍ. And then we gave it a new form and shape, meaning we then placed a soul into this fetus. فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. Glory be to Allah, the most high and exalted, the best of designers, undoubtedly is the Almighty. And in the 27 juz in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَ إِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ. Why not when the soul is departing and it comes to the collarbone? وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَ إِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ. And you are present at that time as family members, as doctors, as caregivers, as well-wishers. تَرُجِعُونَهَا تَرُجِعُونَهَا. Halt that soul, return that soul. Put it on hold and pause. إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. If you claim that you have control and might and there's no retribution and consequences, but you have no muscle, no clout. So that was the first question. The second question they had asked the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was pertaining the youth in the bygone years who had taken shelter in a cave and have slept for centuries. The details, the backdrop, the context, the narrative, the reality pertaining to these people. And it was in response to that question that Surah Al-Kahf was revealed, in which of course the detailed answer has been provided, and gradually inshallah we will explore. And hence I urge you, my brother and my sister, my listener, my viewer, that seize this opportunity and follow through the series. This is but another opportunity to create that rapport and connection with the Quran. فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ. Allah says, where are you going? Qatada asked the question expounding on this ayah, meaning abandoning the Quran, where will you go? Come back to the Quran, and in that is the salvation. Two things have paralyzed this ummah. Number one, the disunity amongst us. And number two, we have forsaken the book of the Almighty. وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. A verse of 19th juz, Surah Furqan, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the complaint of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he will say on the day of Qiyamah that verily my nation, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. They have abandoned the Quran. My brother, the Quran is not meant for your shelf. It is meant for yourself. The Quran is not for your shelf. It is for yourself. Open the Quran. Reflect over the Quran. So that was the second question that they had asked the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the third question was regarding the man who traveled the east and the west, Dhul Qarnayn. And he was victorious and he conquered the lands where he traveled. And towards the latter part of this very same chapter, a detailed response is given pertaining to the details and the mystery of Dhul Qarnayn. So that's just a quick overview regarding the merit of this chapter, the virtue of this chapter, and what prompted the revelation of this chapter. That being said, let's commence with the first verse of the Quran and translate it and then expound on the commentary provided by the experts in this regard. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very eloquently opens up this chapter comprising of 110 verses by saying, الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا. A loose translation, الحمد لله, all praise belongs to Allah. الذي هو أنزل revealed على upon عبده his servant الكتاب the book. ولم يجعل له عوجا, and he did not place any crookedness in this book. There's no deficiency in this book. There is no blemish in this book. There is no inconsistency in this book. So let's now dissect the verse so that we can appreciate the depth that has been, conveyed in the Quran. In another verse of the Quran, Allah says, فِيهَا كُتُبٌ قَيِّمَةٌ, that the Quran is a book, but in this book, there are many books. So every chapter is a book on its own. It is voluminous by itself. So Alhamdu, we all know and we understand the translation of that means all praise belongs to Allah. Hamd means praise, and the translation of all comes from Al, and those that are familiar with grammar will appreciate. There are two types of Alif Lam we will speak about in this regard here. We refer to Istihqaq and Istighraq. So Istihqaq means deserving. Allah is the only being who's deserving of praise. It is the right of Allah that we praise Him. Of course, we praise humans from time to time. In fact, today, it's more flattery than praising. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, amongst the signs of Qiyamah, وَأُكْرِمَ الرَّجُلُ مَخَافَةَ شَرِّهِ, that often a person will be revered, respected, saluted, not because he is entitled to that respect, but rather to cover yourself against his evil, to shield yourself against his nasty habits or advancements or any type of evil coming from his angle. You praise him just to cover yourself. لا تتقي من نباح الكلب إلا بكسرة خبز تلقي إليه. It's an Arabic proverb. Sometimes the only way to appease a barking dog is by throwing a piece of bread. So some people, you need to laud them, you need to extol their praises, you need to pamper them, you need to pat them on their shoulder, and just inflate their ego and make them feel conceited. And that's the only way you can secure yourself. And of course, there are times where humans are merited and we need to acknowledge and compliment and, pay tribute and homage. That's a separate thing. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves every type of praise, be it verbal, be it by your body gesture, be it by your expression, be it in a monetary form. Every type of praise belongs to the Almighty, Alhamdu. So that is istihqaq. And that's what a believer is. And we need to encourage our children. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the campaign, when he took a handful of sand and he hurled it towards his enemy, and that paralyzed them, it created paralysis. And then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam left and he continued on his journey. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referenced this. فَلَمْ تَقْتُلُوهُمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ قَتَلَهُمْ وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. Though it was the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and it was his action, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that action was supported by the strength that Allah had given you. So whatever we achieve, my brother, whatever feat we accomplish, whatever milestones we have, whatever feather is on your cap, whatever accolades you have, whatever testimonies you have, it is all through the grace of the Almighty. A believer from the time he rises in the morning till he retires to bed, at every turn of life, it is to praise Allah. الحمد لله الذي أحيانا بعدما أماتنا وإليه النشور الحمد لله الذي يحيي الموتى وهو على كل شيء قدير. When you exit the loo and the washroom, الحمد لله الذي أذهب عني الأذى. After eating, we probably know one dua, الحمد لله الذي أطعمنا وسقانا وجعلنا مسلمين, which is great, but there are many other duas. الحمد لله الذي هو أشبعنا وأروانا وأنعم علينا وأفضل الحمد لله الذي أطعمني هذا الطعام ورزقنيه الحمد لله حمدا. So there are so many du'as. In essence, constantly to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الحمد. Then the next portion of the ayah, Allah says, الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب All praise belongs to Allah who revealed the book. Who revealed the book. So before we go on to expounding on the aspect of the book, let's focus on the word Anzal, revelation. One of the greatest favors of Allah upon mankind is revelation. Sometimes, my brother, my sister, you observe a prominent individual, a high flyer, an intellectual person, an academic-minded, a wise person, yet you would find him doing things which you would frown and scowl upon, and you would find to be unacceptable and uncouth, and you would not tolerate that type of behavior from a child, leave alone an adult. Probably you'll find him standing and urinating, or you'll find a man, eating with his left hand, or standing and eating, or when sneezing, not covering his face, or doing something that is so uncultured. And the truth be told, if we were to exclude revelation from the equation, then you and I would be no different. It is Quran, it is Wahi, and it is the rich teachings of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam that taught us how to eat. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam seen the young boy, his hand was rotating in the plate. كانت يده تطيش. So he sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught him the etiquettes of eating. سَمِّ اللَّهِ, take the name of Allah. كُلْ بِيَمِينِكَ, eat with your right hand. كُلْ مِمَّا يَلِيكَ, eat that which is in front of you. When you relieve yourself, go in isolation. Sit and relieve yourself. When you sneeze, cover yourself. Allahu Akbar. In fact, I was reading in one tafsir where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the bounties of Jannah. And in that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in Jannah there will be springs and there will be rivers and there will be sweet water and there will be the spring of tasneem and salsabil, etc., etc. وَمِزَاجُهُ مِن تَسْنِيم عَيْنًا يَشْرَبُ بِهَا الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. That this is a spring from which the muqarrabun, those who enjoy the closeness and the proximity to Allah in terms of rank and status and piety and nobility, and may Allah make us from amongst them. So Allah says, wa akwabum mawdu'a. Akwab is the plural of the word kub, which means a glass or a goblet or a utensil. Mawdu'a ismu maf'ul, wada'a, to be placed. So there will be the drinks, and then adjacent to it, besides it, will be this beautiful, exclusive, expensive, elegant type of utensils and goblets. And under this ayah in Ma'riful Quran, Mufti Shafi' rahimahullah writes that we learn an etiquette that if you make a drink available to people, someone is coming home or you're offering a drink, then would the drink make a utensil available as well? There is a water station, or there are some drinks that are available, then some glasses and some goblets need to be placed by it as well. Subhanallah, from the most simple of the things to the most detailed of explanation, our deen taught us etiquettes. And where did these etiquettes come from, my brother? Through revelation. ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته لاتبعتم الشيطان. And if it was not for the grace of Allah and His mercy, لاتبعتم الشيطان, then the bulk of you, the majority of you, would have just taken to following the devil. Whatever the devil says, and as the devil provokes and incites and indoctrinates, إلا قليلا, with the exception of very, very few people. Hassan ibn Thabit radiyallahu anhu, when he was, crying over the tragic demise of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, وَهَلْ عَدَلَتْ يَوْمًا رَزِيَّةُ هَالِكٍ رَزِيَّةَ يَوْمٍ مَاتَ فِيهِ مُحَمَّدُ تَقَطَّعَ فِيهِ مَنْزِلُ الْوَحْيِ وَقَدْ كَانَ ذَا نُورٍ يَغُورُ وَيُنْجِدُ. And can any tragedy or affliction equate the gravity of the catastrophe of the demise of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Never has the world in its entirety seen a day of greater sadness and somber than the demise of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. تَقَطَّعَ فِيهِمْ مَنْزِلُ الْوَحْيِ. Revelation was paused. Not momentarily, but permanently. وَقَدْ كَانَ ذَا نُورٍ يَغُورُ وَيُنْجِدُ. And revelation brought that brightness and that brilliance to the entire world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the first verse out of the 110 verses of Surah Al-Kahf, Alhamdulillahilladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitab. And in each episode, I generally like to remind my listener, my viewer to a message. Our first words I spoke about in the translation of this ayah, learn to praise Allah. Credit everything to Allah. Grace belongs to Allah. Don't take, Allah speaks about Sulaiman alayhi salam and Qarun. Qarun had an empire, but that was coupled with arrogance. Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam had an empire, but that was humility. So when the throne of Bilqis, who was the queen of Saba, which geographically appears in Yemen, when that throne was brought before Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam, and he observed the authority that Allah gave him, what did he say? هَذَا مِن فَضْلِ رَبِّي هَذَا مِن فَضْلِ رَبِّي This is the grace of Allah, this is the boon of Allah. Anyway, and what did Qarun say? إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ That I have this power and this knowledge and this skill on the grounds of my intellect and my wisdom. And shortly thereafter, the earth split and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the earth to swallow him with his entourage and his cavalcade. So Alhamdulillahilladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitab. Now we focus on the word abd. Allah referred to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here as abd. My brother, my sister, the greatest thing you can achieve is become a better servant. Yes, the more your servitude to Allah, the greater your ranking, the greater your marks, the greater your accomplishment. It is an honor to bow before Allah. It is a privilege to prostrate before Allah. I will not forget this brother. I had spent 3 Ramadans in his house in California back in the years. And he needed to go for a particular surgery. But post-surgery, there was fear that he will not be able to prostrate. And he said, until the doctors cannot guarantee me. It was a very dear friend of mine because I spent 3 Ramadans in San Francisco at his place. He said, until the doctors cannot guarantee that I will enjoy and continue enjoying the privilege of prostration, I am not ready to go into theater and undergo the surgery. So it's an honor to bow before Allah. And the greater a servant you become, the greater your ranking is in the eyes of the Almighty. Al-abdu abdun wa in taraqqa. A servant remains a servant even if you ascend and you climb. Inna maqam al-abdi la yushabihuhu maqamun wa la yudanihi. Wa nabiyyuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi a'la maratibihi. This is mentioned in the tafasir that the station and position and rank of servitude is the highest rank a servant can attain. My brother, I often say that how strange, as humans, we are so dependent creatures, yet we're arrogant. Imagine if Allah created us independent, I cannot imagine what our arrogance would be. I am so dependent on others, yet I'm so arrogant, right? Sometimes how we eat, how we talk, how we walk, how we interact. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَنَا لَا أَكُلُ مُتَّكِئًا I don't recline and eat, I eat with humility. أَنَا أَجْلِسُ كَمَا يَجْلِسُ الْعَبْدُ I sit like how a servant sits. On the conquest of Mecca, when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Mecca Mukarrama, and then a man came to him and he was overwhelmed by the personality of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comforted him and he said, Hawwin alayk, calm down, O my brother. Hawwin alayk, lastu bi malikin, I'm not a king. Innama anabnu imra'atin min Quraysh ta'akulu al-qadir. I am but the son of a woman from Quraysh who lived eating dry meat. Subhanallah, look at the humility of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here as abd. In fact, in the previous chapter, in Surah Bani Israel, where Allah speaks of the journey of Mi'raj, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi layla. All praise belongs to Allah who took his servant to the heavens and beyond and the journey of Mi'raj. Even in this verse, Allah references the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a servant. So we conclude this episode on that note. We ask Allah to grant us humility and humbleness and may He make us His true servants. آمين يا رب العالمين. وصل اللهم وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.